Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Today, before I start my message, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts, and I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that is it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I do not want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a real heart after God. This message is for those who want to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm going to be speaking about iniquity. David said in Psalms chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." Verse 5, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." God keeps records, and no one who is foolish will stand in His presence. We can detect His displeasure now by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is in us. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you." You will be energized by the Spirit and full of joy if the Spirit of Jesus has full control. The word dwell or dwelleth in Strong's is number 1774. Is taken from other words, which means to inhabit or dwell in. Just because you are born again, it does not mean that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, as He should. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, "And he that keepeth His commandments dwells in Him, and He in him. Hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." Only by keeping His commands out of love can we be sure that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. Those disciples had some experience of the Holy Spirit dwelling because they were already following Jesus. And even though the Spirit had not yet come in them, we read in John chapter 14 and verse 17. This is what Jesus said in John 14 and verse 17. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and He shall be in you." The word "dwelleth" here is a reference to the Spirit finding full freedom to convict and expose everything that is offending a holy God. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 1 on page 27, Joseph Hedgecock writes about the hotel principle. He says, "To explain trusting the Lord with all your heart, I use the illustration of a large hotel having 1,000 rooms. Every room is some part of your nature. Maybe in 50 of those rooms you trust God, but you have 950 rooms you do not trust Him. We tend to open the doors one at a time. In one decision, I chose to give God the master key, which opened all 1,000 rooms. He can open any door He wants, any time He wants. Satan tried to deceive me. He said God would open all the doors at once and it would be overwhelming. He said everything I did wrong would be brought to light at the same time. God does not do that. He starts with one room and has fellowship with you there. Then he deals with another room that hinders you from going to the next level until the room is cleared out. There could be one room with 50 things in it that must be dealt with before that whole room trusts God. He gives you the grace to work on one area at a time. When he decides it's no longer time to work in that room, he shuts the door and locks it. Everything else in that room is covered by grace until it's time for the Spirit to deal with it. It is not held against you. God already sees what is behind every door in your hotel. Why not give him the master key so his work can be completed in you? In this way, you are renewed day by day become like Christ. It is time to be honest and admit what you have allowed Satan to do because of ignorance, unbelief, or rebellion. Each area that needs repentance is like a hotel room that can have many sins with the door closed. If you confess to God and tell him what you did and why you did it, that opens the door. While the conviction is there, he will help you. Just confess your sin and God will show you how Satan got in through your hardened heart. This is available by grace through faith. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us is a guarantee of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is faithfully working in us to bring us back to the narrow path. John said in 2 John 1:2, for the truth's sake, which dwells in us and shall be with us forever. When you reject truth and conviction, you resist the Holy Spirit. Not everyone who's born again will be ready for his appearing, because they did not listen and submit to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us now so we can do the perfect will of God and rule with Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father which is in heaven. If the Holy Spirit is not free to convict, then you are making room for sin. Paul was using his mind trying to understand the things of God. He says in Romans 7:17-18, I'm reading, verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You either have the word of truth or sin dwelling in you when you're using your mind, but you cannot have both. David said in Psalm 6:8, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. It's better to go without something than to compromise on fellowship with God, just to fellowship with sin and iniquity. The Jews thought that they were free. In John 8:33-34, we read, verse 33, and they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. If you are sinning, then you are still the slave of sin. Do you believe this? It will not be just one sin that you commit. One sin will lead to another. John says in 1 John 3:8, He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil in you, but only when you let him be Lord of your life. Do not deceive yourself. We read in John 14 and verse 6, and Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only one solution for sin, and that is to make Jesus Lord. You have to follow Jesus if you want joy consistently. David said in Psalm 16 and verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. If you are walking in darkness, you will lose your joy and peace. We read in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8, Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Departing from evil was a command, not a suggestion. If you have a problem with sin and find it hard to stop, it is because you have iniquity filling your heart instead of faith. You still believe in your own ability instead of trusting God with all your heart. David was a man after God's own heart, but he knew the cause of his sin. In Psalm 51 and verse 5, he said, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Once you are born again, you cannot just sin so easily. You have to, number one, turn your back on Jesus. Number two, listen to the devil. Number three, deny Christ. Number four, resist the Holy Spirit. Number five, be drawn away by the lust of flesh. Number six, live without peace and joy just to get what you want. People say it's easy to sin, but it's not when you are close to God. Iniquity starts with small issues. When you turn your back on the Spirit of Christ and ignore the grieving of the Holy Spirit. Leonard Ravenhill writes, The true man of God is heartsick, grieved at the worldliness of the church, grieved at the toleration of sin in the church, grieved at the prayerlessness in the church. He is disturbed that the corporate prayer of the church no longer pulls down the strongholds of the devil. God sees sin when it forms in your heart, when you are making room for sin, before it manifests. In the book of Isaiah, God says, in Isaiah 46 and verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Joy is not automatic when you are born again. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. I'm reading 1 John chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Verse 5. This then is the message with which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We are supposed to walk in the light as he is in the light. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 19, I'm reading. This is John chapter 3 verses 19, 20 and 21. In verse 19, Jesus said, And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21, But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The light is revelation and truth that comes from the Spirit to set us free. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, we read. This is John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You become free by being a disciple and a follower of Jesus. If you live in the flesh, you are not free. People think they are free until they reap the consequences of sin. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Also, you cannot enjoy the kingdom of God and still be Lord of your own life. You cannot have righteousness and peace with God without living in the light. The darkness represents you using your own mind and making decisions yourself. If you're living in darkness, then you will sin again and again. If you love truth, you will endure correction and conviction. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on page 18, Joseph Hedgecott writes, His goal is to remove any and every hindrance that keeps you from enjoying consistent fellowship with him. His motive is always love. He convicts you because he loves you, and with conviction he has made the provision for the sin and godly sorrow to be removed. He has promised to forgive you when you repent. However, if you do not believe this truth from your heart, you will continue to struggle with condemnation and will have trouble becoming free in your spirit after you have been convicted. John continued by saying in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10, I'm reading, verse 8, If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Remember that if you tell one lie, you have to tell another. The lies also get bigger each time. This is how iniquity starts, because it is based on rejecting the truth and accepting lies in its place. And if the Spirit convicts you, do not resist. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, and be every man a liar, as it is written, that thou might be justified in thy sayings, and might overcome when thou art judged. If you continue to resist the truth, then you will be deluded. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 13, I'm reading. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Verse 12, That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 13, But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The purpose of the delusion God sends is so that you wake up and come to your senses before it's too late. Proverbs 10:29 says, The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The end of iniquity is also destruction. Jesus said, in Matthew 15 and verse 14. Let them alone, that they are the blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. When two people get hurt by falling in a ditch, then they will both realize that they were following a way that seems right. Then there will be at least two people to give a witness to the fact that it's not the right way. Proverbs 16 and 25. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. A carnal Christian has to work hard, deceiving himself to justify a life of rebellion. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23. I'm reading Matthew 7, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The word work in Strong's is number 2038. This is from another word. It means to toil. Effect, be engaged in, to work at, to be committed labor, to minister or even trade in it. Iniquity becomes an occupation for those who are on the broad road. They are deceiving themselves, toiling, always engaged with projects and plans and laboring and coming up with theories to be successful in ministry, serving the fear of failure. Those who are not called into ministry are just hirelings. There are three kinds of fear. Number one, dread fear. Number two, reverential fear. And number three, a spirit of fear. If dread fear is manifesting in your life, it's not the root of your problems. My messages may cause you to fear because your spiritual foundation is weak or missing something. In this case, you may have to do your first works over again. Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Charles Finney would preach in such a way that people would feel nervous, and they would have a dread fear when listening to him, but no condemnation. In leading someone to salvation, Charles Finney was careful to watch somebody. He would not relieve those fears with a single prayer, even after 5 days. He would have a nervous seat, and those seeking salvation would have to attend an after-inquiry meeting. He saw dread fear turning into reverential fear and worship as a sign that they had really entered on the narrow way. Then Charles explained to each person the contract of salvation and explained they needed to work out their salvation in fear and trembling and repent regularly. This was a typical feature of his converts. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you are not free and fear is still manifesting in your life for long periods, you need to repent and stop serving your own emotions. The fear of God is necessary if you get behind, but it will go away through repentance. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 20, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. But be not high-minded, but fear. The word fear in Strong's is number 5399. It's from another word which means to frighten, that is passively, to be alarmed by analogy, to be aware of, that is revere, or be afraid, or fear exceedingly. Dread fear is part of the holy emotions God can bless you with to show you that something is important. We should fear God, not the devil. Maybe you did not deny yourself and take up your cross and feel hopeless at salvation or at some point of conviction. immediately after this, you should have repented and felt his love. If you continue living in the flesh, you may end up with a spirit of fear instead. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." A spirit of fear comes from working out your salvation with your mind. There is a need to be afraid if you are living in the flesh, because you will be left behind. But you do not have to live in that fear or anxiety. You choose. You can repent and get in the spirit. Dread fear was supposed to be processed by confessing your sin and humbling yourself before God. But you have allowed a spirit of fear to speak to you instead, because you are not really following Jesus. If you use your mind in the flesh, then the devil can still easily deceive and control you. Paul described the leaders of the last days in 2 Timothy 3 and 7, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We are living in the last days, and people are using their minds trying to understand the things of God. Paul had a lot of knowledge at the start of his walk and kept getting puffed up. He had to lead the church, and Paul realized that the law could not be obeyed because it is spiritual and he was carnal. It's like putting a CD in a toaster. Paul said in Romans 7 and 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." To stop Paul from getting puffed up, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. This only happens if you have a high calling on your life, and there is no one above you in the Lord to correct and chasten you. God even gave Paul a demonic spirit to buffet him, so that when he was in the flesh, he knew he was in the flesh. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 to 10, we read, this is Paul speaking, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me." Verse 9, "And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When Paul was living in the grace, then there were little or no effects from the thorn in the flesh. If God let Paul learn this way, then he will not keep the devil back from attacking you if you keep living in the flesh. The devil is a sheepdog for carnal Christians. It's time to grow up. You're not a baby anymore. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." False preachers even trade in iniquity, so do not get too close to them. You even hear the preacher saying amen loudly, trying to get the congregation to agree with them on a half-truth. The word amen means so be it. You must test everything before you agree and say amen. In Psalms 14 and verse 4, we read, "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord?" Watering down the truth is making up stories. Many prosperity preachers will tell you about blessings and breakthrough without repentance. They will tell you about dreams that can be fulfilled just by making a single prayer. They make money from the poor. This is not wise. It does not matter if you have a certificate of ordination. If you are destroying people, then you have no knowledge. God keeps records of all the damage, pain, and confusion your compromise has brought to others. David says in Psalm 28 and verse 3, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts. Those who are not walking in the truth say peace when there is no peace. They will not preach the Lordship of Jesus. The false ones will tell you that you can do whatever you like. Just use your brain, they say. They will not tell you to repent. Jesus' teaching on sin was very clear, however. He said in Mark chapter 9, verses 43 to 48, I'm reading. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, into the fire which never shall be quenched. Verse 44. Where the worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 45. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter half into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 46. Where the worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes and to be cast into hellfire. Verse 48, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Make sure that you do not water down what Jesus said. He said in Luke 9 and 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, and of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. Time is running out. Everyone who wants to make heaven needs to stop sinning. We read in the Gospel of John. This is John chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ brought grace and truth so that we could have time to repent and learn what causes sin and depart from evil. Psalm 36 and 12 says, there are the workers of iniquity fallen, and they are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Those not walking in the truth and making excuses for sin will face the judgment at the great white throne and miss the first resurrection. Webster defines iniquity as a particular deviation from rectitude, a sin or a crime, wickedness, or any act of injustice. Webster defines rectitude as immorality, rightness of principle or practice, uprightness of mind, exact conformity to the truth or to the rules prescribed for moral conduct, either by divine or human laws. Rectitude of mind is the disposition to act in conformity to any known standard of right, truth, or justice. Rectitude of conduct is the actual conformity to such standard. Perfect rectitude belongs only to the Supreme Being. And the more nearly the rectitude of men approaches the standard of the divine law, the more exalted and dignified is their character. Want of rectitude is only sinful and debasing. Iniquity is departing from the truth that you were convicted of many times, possibly. It is departing from what you know is sin. It is not sin done ignorantly. Webster also says, there is sublimity in conscious rectitude in comparison with which the treasures of the earth are not worth naming. Psalm 37 and verse 1. A Psalm of David. This is Psalm 37 and verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thee envious against the workers of iniquity. Iniquity is the mother of all sin. Since you are born again, it's not easy to sin. You have to give up the joy from being in his presence. You will live without the peace of God, and you will not feel his love for you. For you to sin, then, you have to turn your back on all that God has provided through Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Instead, you listen to your own self-righteous mind and resist the grieving of the Holy Spirit. James said in James 1, chapter 14 and 15, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. God is not the problem, but rather he has given us the solution for sin. Peter says in 2 Peter 1 and 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Read the rest of 2 Peter chapter 1 if you want to bear much fruit for Jesus Christ. Peter also said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 12, Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. You do not need a checklist of sins, but you need to be established in the truth by listening to the Holy Spirit. Departing from the truth that you have received from Jesus Christ shows that you do not trust him with all your heart. In the book of Isaiah, we read in Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 4. This is the book of Isaiah 59. I'm reading verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Verse 4. None calleth for justice, nor any pleads for the truth. They trust in vanity, and speak lies, and they conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. Do not let iniquity form in your heart, as it will allow sin to manifest. If you listen to your mind telling you, it does not matter, you will start making excuses. Iniquity is the floodgate for sin and will separate you from God. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. So without God, you cannot do his perfect will anyway. And then you will not hear him either. Sin will just multiply exponentially, all because you listen to a wrong voice of compromise. David said in Psalm 66, I'm reading verse 18, 19, and 20. In verse 18, he said, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Verse 19, But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Verse 20. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Even when others are lukewarm, the Holy Spirit is faithful. If your heart is still soft, then he will let you know when sin and iniquity is nearby. You can be faithful by accepting his calling to be holy, and his corrections through conviction of sin. He is bringing truth every day for us to abide deeper in the Spirit and live in Christ consistently. The flesh is the problem. The devil cannot make you sin, but he might tempt you if you live in his neighborhood. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The word device in Strong's is number 3540. It's from another word. It means perception, that is, purpose, or by implication, the intellect or disposition itself. A device or even a thought. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, he will grieve in you every time you're about to sin. So you'll never be ignorant of a device or a wrong thought of the devil's plan ever again. You just must follow these instructions Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 30, 31 and 32. In verse 30 he says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Verse 31, "Let all bitterness and all and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Verse 32, "And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Paul is saying in the Spirit that you can let go of all bitterness, vengeance, anger, evil speaking towards others that has built up because the truth is Christ forgave you too. If you do not put these things away, you will not recognize the grieving of the Holy Spirit in your heart. The devil will get you thinking someone else is the problem, and that way you will not hear God's voice. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings," guile and even malice, anger in the heart, "can make you insensitive to the Holy Spirit. This warning is repeated to all the churches." Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, "But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." You can put anger away. You cannot put anger away when you're in the flesh. All sin is condemned in the flesh. So you have to get out of the flesh first by confessing your sin, accepting God's forgiveness, and humbling yourself. Otherwise, you will end up being destroyed by your own anger. Your anger is based on you judging. It is carnal. But in the Spirit, when you accept the truth that Jesus forgave sin, you can put it away. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 21, "Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls." This is what Paul, James, and Peter say. What voice are you listening to? Are you listening to a wrong voice that says your anger is justified? God said to Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is Genesis chapter 4. I'm reading verse 6. "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou angry? Why is thy countenance fallen?" Verse 7. "If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." If you're still getting angry, your soul is being destroyed and your salvation is not complete. Repent. Anger is a fruit of the flesh. Seek truth instead and get God's view of your actions. You might think it's okay to have a little bit of anger. But Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 22, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Save yourselves. Anger shows you have no fear of God. James says in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Verse 20. "For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." The word "worketh" in Strong's is number 2716. It's taken from other words, which means to work fully, that is to accomplish, by implication, finish or fashion, to perform or work out. If you are working out your salvation, then anger is a sign that you've already missed God and your salvation is still incomplete. It is also a sign that you were talking when you should have been listening. You've lost your sensitivity to God by getting angry. James says in James chapter 3 and verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body, and setting on fire the course of nature, and is itself set on fire of hell. Hell is the source of all evil speaking and is feeding iniquity. You are risking hell, and you certainly will not be ready when Jesus appears if you do not stop getting angry. Paul says the spiritual man can detect all things. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Seeing what others do or don't do does not give us the right to judge or condemn anyone else. This was one of the first commands the Lord gave me when I went through a deep breaking. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2, I'm reading Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. Verse 2, for with whatever judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with whatever measure you use, it shall be measured to you again. Let God do the judging. We are all going to stand before God one of these days. We all need grace and mercy. Judging others is a trap. This is one of the fastest ways to lose the grace of God and come out of His presence. Judging others will cause you to get angry too. If you're struggling with judging, I can recommend chapter 11 of Making Judgments in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Paul did not even judge himself. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. But Paul did examine himself. He said in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Never focus on what others are doing or not doing. You do not have time to think about this if you are busy working out your own salvation. You only have time to examine yourself and see if you are ready. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. We know that iniquity is going to be in the church right up to the time when Jesus appears. The Bible says there is going to be a falling away from the faith. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that the day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This deception is coming to a climax in this modern era, but God's grace is being poured out. Do not be deceived. We have to be ready when Jesus comes or when we die, whichever comes first. Peter calls this the day of the Lord. This can happen at any time, so we have to be ready. He says this in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 1, and I'm reading all the way to verse 14. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Verse 2, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Verse 5. And for this they willingly are ignorant of, and that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Verse 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and also the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Jesus is coming soon, and Peter is saying to be diligent about keeping sin out of your own life and be blameless. You can only do this by being submitted to the Spirit of truth. Then you'll be found in Christ through repentance when he appears. It is not possible to be ready by following a set of rules or doctrines using your mind. You have to cling to the truth that God reveals in your heart daily. He loves you and he knows what is good for you. He is supposed to be the author and finisher of your faith. We read in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, and that he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto your Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. As you get older, your bodies can slow down and will not do exactly what you want when you want, and things just take longer. If you just serve the flesh, you will get tired quickly because your body gets tired too. This is a good time for the saints who are working out their salvation. If you serve God, you get his resurrection power. It's easier to see the difference in serving God and serving self as you get older, because you are weak without him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It may take you more effort to obey. Even smaller acts of sacrifice and obedience to spirit become an even greater expression of love, because it takes more effort when you're older. So get excited. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Take over every opportunity to serve God right up to the last minute. Make no excuses. You need to be really hot for Jesus. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Judgment has already started in the house of God. God is the judge, and he can see the root of sin and the iniquity when it's forming in your heart. The word of truth is useful because it exposes sin before it manifests. James says in James chapter 1, verses 23, 24, and 25, I'm reading verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, and he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in his deed. The law of liberty is being free to do what Jesus says. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God's standards for you are set by Jesus for the time you're on this earth, because he is the light of the world. We are not following rules or principles. Such rules are independence from Jesus and stop you from asking the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament laws show the wisdom of God because he is the author. When Jesus comes back, he will run the earth and apply those laws as they should have been applied by spiritual people, priests, even Gentiles, not religious leaders with a knowledge of the Torah and the Hebrew. We read in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 to 40. This is Matthew chapter 22. I'm starting from verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Verse 38. And this is the first and great commandment. Verse 39, And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40, On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. To obey the law, you should start with love. You do not need to look into the whole law and try to keep all the religious feasts and Jewish traditions. The law just came to show us that we are not spiritual. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 23 to 26. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should be afterwards be revealed. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Verse 26. For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The law is spiritual, but reading it does not make you spiritual. You can see that the law is good, but in order to please God, you have to first move out of the flesh into the Spirit, and that means you cannot decide anything. He is Spirit, so now He, the Holy Spirit, decides everything. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. He says, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. His lordship means that you have to wait for God to direct, otherwise you are carnal. Truth is part of the New Testament. Truth is better than the law. And because of the Holy Spirit, we get grace. 2. While we are repenting, he is divine. So there's no excuse for not walking in the light of his word and daily conviction. But some want to have grace without truth, so that they can do what they want and be lord of their own lives, and this is iniquity. This is a critical command from Paul. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, he says, For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The law was there to teach us to love your neighbor as your very own self. And you cannot do that without being connected to God by loving him with all your heart, soul, and mind anyway, because he is the source of love. For more information on how to keep the commands of Jesus and develop your relationship with him, please refer to the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. There is grace for you to change, but there is no grace to stay where you are now. You have to keep repenting. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, and I'm reading to Romans chapter 6, verse 2. This is Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Daily repentance is a sign that we are on the narrow path. Those who are not repenting regularly are still on the broad way, leading to destruction. Paul gave this testimony in Romans chapter 7, verse 22 to 25. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with this mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Gravity was created by God to keep your feet on the ground. I think he did not want man to live on the moon because there's not much gravity there. Gravity in the natural realm is like the law of sin and death in the spiritual realm. Do not be ignorant. The law of sin and death is there to stop your flesh from getting exalted above measure and you getting destroyed completely. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 5, 6, and 7. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Paul realized he had to become spiritual first. You may be reading a good book from a spiritual man, but you will not be able to do what you're reading until you first get in the Spirit yourself. Paul said in Romans 8 and 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The law of sin and death is like the law of gravity. Gravity is the force acting on a body and is equal to a mass of that object times the acceleration due to gravity. If you do not believe in gravity, just throw a rock up and watch it come down. You can throw the rock up even faster and it will come down even faster. Paul said in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Some people think that there is a way to keep God happy and still get whatever they want by living in the flesh. They are stubborn, serving two natures because they do not believe the truth. They are stubborn and become stiff-necked. Jeremiah 17 and 23 says, but they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. A stubborn Christian is like a rebellious child playing with rocks. They throw the rock up and rebuke the law of gravity, but the stone comes down again and it hits them on the head. But they are stiff-necked and do it again and even get a bigger rock. When they throw the big rock even further, and because God loves them, he does not let the rock come down immediately because it's going to hurt or even kill them, they declare a new law. God wants you to come to repentance before you die from throwing rocks. Some preachers even make up false doctrines based on the fact that no harm or nothing bad happened. So they say it's okay to be Lord of your life, and they become enemies of the cross. Paul said in Philippians 3 and 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Many churches emphasize the goodness of God without the severity of God. They get people throwing even bigger rocks in the air and say it does not matter. But if you go on sinning, you will end up in destruction. Paul says in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, "Behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God, and on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." There is only one way to overcome the law of sin and death, and it's to get out of the flesh and into the spirit. In the same way, when you want to overcome gravity, you get in an aeroplane. The aeroplane has powerful engines that have enough force to rise above the forces of gravity, pulling the plane back to the earth. If the captain turns off the engines, then the plane will crash. Your spiritual aeroplane is waiting and available in Christ when you submit to his lordship and obey and walk in the Spirit. You cannot take a day off without him as Lord, as otherwise you will crash. Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 1 and 2. This is Romans chapter 8 verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Today, engines in rockets can even take you into outer space where there is no gravity. Initially, it's hard work and a lot of energy is consumed with not much gain. But as the rocket goes higher, the effects of gravity become less. And if you want to deal with iniquity, I suggest the following. Number one, never compare yourself with anyone else except Christ. Number two, never be jealous at what others have. Number three, remember riches will fade away like a flower or like the grass. Number four, remember no one will escape the judgment. Number five, do not envy those who do things without integrity and holiness. Number six, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You are special. If God gave you something to do, he also gave you the grace to do it. But do it with the grace and make no excuses for the flesh. Start by making him Lord and seeking his kingdom. Do not assume you are righteous because you prayed the sinner's prayer. Iniquity can be defined as backsliding from the truth that God gave you personally, and God keeps records. Rectitude should be a standard that you accepted as part of your salvation. He will help you to be faithful. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them." Complete the work and calling you receive from Jesus at salvation. Maybe you never did your first works correctly. Go back again and accept God's calling on your life. When you become a doer of the word, you share what you have learned with others. Paul continued by saying in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15, 16 and 17, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Verse 16. from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body, unto the edifying itself in love. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their own mind. Rectitude produces dignity and is part of God's perfect will for your life under his lordship. The church should not be a place that is comfortable for any carnal Christian. Correction is required to be in Christ. Let me give you some examples of truths I can pass on. You should give thanks always for your food at mealtimes, before eating. You are submitted to someone who is on the narrow path. You meet with others who love the Lord and love truth and talk about repentance. You do not make excuses for not reading the Gospels and the teachings of Jesus. You always make notes at meetings and keep a sin list. Seek the Lord now and remember what God said to you at the beginning when he called you. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands and of the presbytery. What happened? Do you have a heart after God and have now become religious? You are either going backwards or you're going forwards. You need to depart from iniquity before it's too late. One day of not seeking God is 2 days later seeking God just to get back on track. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou art left thy first love. Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Check now that you did not substitute obeying the truth with a list of religious works. The long list of religious tasks did not come from God. God gave David the grace to be a soldier, but it looks like he was at home watching TV instead. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after the years was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Verse 2. And it came to pass at evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David let his eyes wander. There is a time and a place for everything. You should never stop doing what God said, especially when you have some free time, as this is an opportunity for the devil and temptation. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The devil will overcome you by getting you to live in the flesh, make you comfortable, enslave you, and make a fool out of you. The devil wants you to be a preacher of half-truths and deceive others. Jesus said in Luke 14 and verse 34, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savour, wherefore shall it be seasoned again? Do not be ignorant of the devil's tactics. Once truth is treated with contempt, the devil can do whatever he wants. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Holiness is not based on human effort. If you want to overcome the devil and live in Christ, you have to love the truth more than anything else. Joseph Hitchcock says in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, on page 199, believing and obeying the truth is your responsibility. No one else can do it for you. If you listen to yourself It is because you have started compromising on the truth. Take action now and stop the rot, or you'll be listening to your feelings and emotions instead. If you're getting tired of resisting the devil, then you are resisting in the flesh and you need to repent. You have been contaminated already. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." In the last days, those compromising on the truth will cause others to lose their love relationship with God. God keeps records. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 21 to 23, "Touch not, taste not, handle not," verse 22, "which are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men," verse 23, "which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will, worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." You are not authorized to replace truth with the doctrines of men. This is what the Pharisees did. Instead, you get to check everything with the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding." Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." You probably have your own man-made rules if you don't want to ask the Spirit of Truth each time. The Holy Spirit is living in you, only 18 inches from your brain. The Holy Spirit is faithful to grieve in you so that you know that you have departed from the truth. The hardness of your heart is directly proportional to how much iniquity is in your life. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 18, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." If you have freedom in Christ, then it is because you have made him Lord. What are you using your liberty for? Do you have your own list of what God allows so you do not have to check everything with the Lord? Are you seeking his permissible will rather than his perfect will? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 23, "All things to me are lawful, but all things are not profitable. All things to me are lawful, but all things do not build up." This is the Young Literal Translation. Know this truth. It is not that you have a hard life. It's rather that you are fighting against God, which is making life hard. Aaron Ross, an ordained minister, gave a message once called "One Night with Frogs." This is what happened to Pharaoh before Israel left Egypt, and he perished with his army. Are you living with frogs because you have rejected the Lordship of Jesus Christ? There is no freedom from Satan when you are Lord of your own life. God says you will reap what you sow, and he does not lie. He is the one trying to get you to repent now and come to your senses like the prodigal son before it's too late. In the story of the prodigal son, we read in Luke 15 and 21, "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son." You will only be saved if you totally vulnerable to the correction of the Holy Spirit daily, which is the Spirit of Christ. No sacrifice can replace the need to obey Christ personally as your King. You can sit on the fence, but it's painful. The devil's making a fool out of you because there is no fence. You're either in darkness or light. There are only two kingdoms. And God allows us to taste, but don't be deceived. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." If you have no taste or love for the truth and conviction, you have lost your first love. Jesus is the truth. And it seems that Jesus' teaching is too spicy for some, which is why they don't read the Gospels out loud. Instead, they avoid conviction and do not want to feel nervous. Time is running out. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Having grace without conviction is making a wrong choice now. When grace runs out, you will still have to face the judgment. This is why grace and truth came together. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 27, I'm reading, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins." Verse 27, "But a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." You must work out your salvation by repentance and conviction based on the truth. If you go on sinning, you will face the wrath of God. If you lack wisdom, you can ask. God's wisdom is greater than any situation we can imagine. He makes a way where there is no way. James says in James chapter 3 and verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make the decision now to start on the narrow path with daily repentance. If you want to follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity. Today I've been sharing with you about iniquity, and I believe it's been speaking to your heart. If you love Jesus and you know there's an area in your life that you're still holding back, you have no idea the consequences that is affecting in the rest of your life. You need to let it go. God is speaking to you, and he's telling you to let go of those things that you're holding on to. Let him come in. Just like in that illustration of the hotel, open that door and allow God to have his way fully. Let him convict you of what you need to do now so that your life can be totally transformed and sin can stop. Father, I'm praying for anyone who's listening to this message that, Father, you help them, that as they embrace this message by faith, they knowing that by trusting you completely as Lord of their lives, they're going to let you bring that conviction they need daily so that their lives are changing. Father, help them as they make notes and record the things that you're showing them. And Father, through the books as well, help them, we pray. Father, I commit them to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for listening. If you need to be in contact with the ministry, there'll be some contact information, and afterwards there'll be a summary of the scriptures that have been shared today. God bless you.